hate yourself.
The Midnight Ravers, where every show is a special.
Your country and all the other UN member states made some promises to us to actively promote women's equality in the media. It's been 20 years now, and how do you think that's going? March 13th, come join female researchers and journalists from Poland, South Africa, Cambodia, Romania, the United States, and Norway when the International Association of Women in Radio and TV presents Gender Equality in the Media. It's in the boss room. Yes, the boss room of the UN Church Center, East 44th Street at First Avenue, right across from the UN. That's March 13th, 2:30 p.m. Tell them Frida sent you.
Previous program was the Juliana Forlano Show, heard Monday through Thursday at 6 p.m. here on WBAI. And if you like programming like that, please consider becoming a financial supporter to this radio station by calling 212-209-2950. Once again, 212-209-2950. Or if you're listening online via WBAI.org, well, you too can contribute by going to give to WBAI.org. Give the numeral to WBAI.org. That's if you're on online using your laptop, tablet, smartphone. And do what you can, because we are still in fundraising mode. Yes, we are. We're still on online fundraising, on-air fundraising. Now until March 7th, raising some funds here to make sure that the basics of basics is fulfilled, like the rent being paid, bills being paid, equipment functional, so we can continue to provide you the information that you expect from us on a regular basis here on WBAI. Programming like the Juliana Filano Show, programming like the Jordan Journal, or some of the newer programs like Behind the News Long Island or Behind the News The World. Please consider becoming a financial supporter to this radio station if you like programs that I've just mentioned, and of course a bevy of other programs out there, like there's plenty of music and arts programs, and there's plenty of other informational programs out there that's on the grid, on the scheduled grid of WBAI. And if you enjoy one or multiple programs on this radio station, please, once again, the number is 212-209-2950, or go to give2wbai.org. And as you know, whenever we are in fundraising mode, the schedule that's usually followed during normal times is a little more, how should I say this, improvisational. It's more like jazz, kind of free form there. Maybe an hour of your favorite programs. Maybe 2 hours of your favorite programs. Maybe it's preempted 1 week. Maybe it's on air this week. But I guess that's what's the beauty of WBAI. Expect the unexpected. Yes. 212-209-2950. Once again, 212-209-2950. Or go to give2wbai.org. It's now 2 minutes past 7 p.m. in New York City. Stay tuned for more programming, fundraising programming here on WBAI.
Until it comes, we who believe in freedom cannot rest. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until it comes. Until the killing of black men.
And good morning. Welcome to Black Women Leaders of the Civil Rights Movement, a special of Joy of Resistance that fills in the missing pieces of the Civil Rights Movement. I'm Fran Locke of the Joy of Resistance. We're on usually on Thursdays between 9 and 10 p.m. And I am here with my esteemed colleague, Nellie Hester Bailey, one of New York City's great activists, and whose new show, Behind the News, The World, airs on Wednesday between 5 and 6 p.m. And that's one you shouldn't miss.
It's so good to be here with you on this special program that looks at Black women in the civil rights movement, a real behind-the-scene look into the leadership of Black women, and also to discuss the invisibility of those women in the historical narrative. But we have 2 hours to do that, and I really look forward to the carts, and I'm happy to be here with you.
Yeah, likewise. So let me tell listeners what we are offering you, because it's quite an amazing package. It does nothing less than put the L word back into the history of the civil rights movement when it comes to women. The L word, of course, being leadership. And that's going to be defined, and you're going to hear a lot of examples of what that is. And you're going to know a whole lot more and have a whole lot more references by the time we're finished. So we are offering you today, this morning, a 3-DVD package plus an audio CD on Black women's leadership in the civil rights movement. We are offering you this entire package, and all of the DVDs are award-winning DVDs for $150, and it includes an interview with activist scholar Professor Carol Giardina on the meaning of leadership and why it has not been applied to women who do the same roles as men do in movements, including and particularly focusing on the civil rights movement. And that CD is available also by itself for $25 pledge. And each DVD is also available by itself for $50. Now, let me tell you what the DVDs are. First of all, we have Standing on My Sister's Shoulders by Joan Sadoff, Robert Sadoff, and Laura J. Lipson, which is an immensely moving story of the women of Mississippi who took the forefront in the struggle for the vote. This was a film that did not leave a dry eye in the house when we showed it at the Feminist Film Festival. And if you were to try to get this film from Women Make Movies, the cost at retail would be $295. Our cost to you, that is what you will pledge to WBAI to support WBAI and get this marvelous DVD, is $50. That's DVD number one. DVD number two is Fundy, the story of Ella Baker, also award-winning, directed by Joanne Grant. You cannot get this anywhere. It is the only film made on the life of the historic, incredible leader, Ella Baker. The cost at retail would be $348 to you. You can get it at WBAI today for for a cost of $50. And lastly, we have a DVD called Reflections on Heard Black Women in Civil Rights by a young director named Nevleen Naji. And she has gone in search of her history and put together the most amazing array of documentary footage you have ever heard of. You could not get this for under $350. You can get it for $50 today at WBAI. This entire package of all three award-winning DVDs, plus the historic interview that I did with Carol Giardina and Moretta Short on, which tells you a whole list of the women who were actual leaders and why they deserve that appellation. And you will really know that information once you've gotten this CD. We're throwing that in, and the whole package is $150. An amazing bargain. Over $700 worth of material. For real. And again, you can get any of those items separately. So, with that as an intro, of course, we want to give you the pledge number, which is 212-209-2950. We expect you, and we have faith that you will go to your phone or pick up your phone, as it were, and call that number, 212-209-2950, and get one of the most amazing packages you will have been offered in this entire fund drive, a package that will fill in the missing gaps in your knowledge of the civil rights movement, which is the core movement of all of the movements that came after. So, without further ado, let's go to the first cut of the first DVD that we want you to just listen to and get involved with, and that is Standing on My Sister's Shoulders. And a lot of good music, a lot of incredible pictures. We'll be talking more about it, but let's hear some of it.
Like Malcolm X, Rosa Parks, Medgar Evers, and Martin Luther King rose to prominence and captured the public's attention. But in Mississippi, the success and power behind the movement was a grassroots foundation of ordinary women whose small acts of defiance and great acts of courage were able to turn Mississippi around.
Eyes of the clans are upon you.
We shall overcome.
We would be in the field, and the white people would pass us in their big, pretty cars and dust us up.
Y'all couldn't even go to the library and get a book. The mayor said, you can't come in here.
And I remember the bus driver coming onto the school bus and saying, get up and go to the back, and don't ever sit on the front again.
A sharecropper means slave labor.
But they went to beating her, and they beat her, and they beat her.
Freedom was in the blood. It was in the air, everywhere you went.
Black sisters who let their shoulders for all of us to stand on.
I was willing to die for it.
Marching up the King Highway, that's what we saw.
The Eunita Blackwells, the Fannie Lou Hamers, the Annie Devines, the Victoria Grays. There's a whole list of them. Without understanding them, you don't understand anything about Mississippi's movement and why it was so strong.
Hearing the cry for freedom and rising to the occasion were women whose courage let them challenge their families, the Mississippi establishment, even the President of the United States. These sharecroppers, students, both black and white, mothers and daughters, changed not only Mississippi, but America.
We are sick and tired of being sick and tired.
I remember somebody saying one time, well, you can't legislate love. I said, no, you can't, but you can legislate an atmosphere where love can happen.
I didn't know a lot about racism. I didn't know white folks hated black folks so bad. You know, we wash their children's behind. We clean their clothes. We clean their houses. We did everything for them. And you feel that we really should be owned by you and suppressed by you? But once the movement came in and then I got a chance to get a touch of it for myself, it was quite clear that we was in a real, real, real bad struggle.
And I say, America, you need to think about your soul.
I was taught to go to church, and I was taught the Bible. And in it, it said all men was created equal. And it talked about love, God loved us, and all these things. And I didn't understand why that white people said they was Christians and treated us the way they did. I didn't understand the hate that I grew up with that would be in their eyes just because of the color of my skin.
To not be afraid was very important. To not have my place so confined by fear was very important. To know that I could not be pulled out of my house if I said the wrong thing or looked to somebody incorrectly and killed without somebody saying something was very important.
Now, for those people who want to think that we don't want to talk about this, we don't want to remember, we don't want to have our kids remember those days, it hasn't been so long ago. It's been in my generation, in 1963, that blacks in this country could not register without getting their heads cracked. I've seen it.
One of the roles of a white person in the movement, particularly a white Southerner, was to sort of try to blend in and filter out information that would be useful. Beyond that, there were times that talking with white Southerners, if you were obviously one yourself, you knew you had a positive impact, that you were not some outsider coming down from New York telling him what to do, but you were one of their own with a different opinion, that did make an impact.
After I got involved in the movement once, my mother said to me, what did we do wrong? We tried so hard with you. I remember saying to her, well, you know, Granny taught me red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. And I didn't know, you know, that you didn't really mean black people.
I decided that if I can live differently in other parts of this country, I should be able to live that way in Mississippi also. So I'm choosing to stay here and fight for the opportunity to be able to live in Mississippi as well as I can anywhere else.
The things that we read about the civil rights time focuses mostly on a few very strong black men who were in the South, and then black and white students and all the groups who came into the state to do work. Looking at it from the inside, the people who I thought were really courageous and who were kind of in the forefront were black women who were much more outspoken than black men at the local level, who were much more willing to register to vote in their very early days, to encourage other people to register to vote. Perhaps men felt more economically in danger, like if they voted and whoever they worked for might retaliate.
It was less risky for the women to be in positions of high profile. We were less likely to lose our lives.
He'd pick on the black man more than he did the woman, so the woman had to always get out there and fight more than him because she knew that he didn't have the privilege to do that like she did.
We just had some very, very strong black women. I think they had a feeling that I never had. I never felt like I could change the world or change the society. But I think some of those women felt that they could.
Walk with me, my love, walk with me.
Women's participation in civil rights is often credited to their participation in religious activities. As the doers and organizers in church, they had skills that would allow them to emerge as leaders in the movement. Churches that had always played a central role in black communities became the place of mass meetings.
Isis Corrine, that's some of them folks. And they was calling them the Freedom Riders. They end up at my church. And he asked us, could he talk to us about voting and that kind of type thing. And so he said that we have a right to register to vote. Who would stand up and say they would go to register, try to register to vote? And I was one of those people that stood up, and I've been standing up ever since.
Amzie Moore, who was undercover organizer for the NAACP, would come to these little rural churches where black folks were gathered in the backwoods, and he would tell people he was with a singing group, and they would come ostensibly to have a concert. But after they sang a couple of songs, he always told us about the NAACP and about the meetings and about why we should support it, why we should become members, and what they were trying to do for black people all around the country.
I was in Ruleville, Mississippi in 1962, and I know it was the women who made the minister open up the church so that we could hold the meetings to try and deal with literacy and have the mass meetings for the voter registration.
The heart of the movement was a spiritual quality, fueled by the women's convictions and determination to better their families' lives. They found their voice in song.
The freedom songs were the glue that kept the movement together. They would give people courage and hope and would uplift them. People identified with the freedom songs because they came out of the church. They were gospel songs, and we just changed the words.
You want to come? And you've just been listening to the first part of Standing on My Sister's Shoulders, an extraordinary DVD. And the visuals are just indescribable. We saw everything from a burning cross and the KKK to sharecroppers to the marvelous faces of the women who are looking back on their lives, who put their lives into struggle. Nellie, you want to?
Yes, and we want to share with our audience some of the amazing voices of the black women leaders whom you've just heard. There was Eunita Blackwell. She was a SNCC project director in Mississippi, and she organized voter registration across the state. She served as the executive committee of the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party after meeting Fannie Lou Hamer. And later on, it's not just what these women did in Mississippi during the heyday of the civil rights movement, but later on in their lives, like Eunita Blackwell, who in 1978 was elected mayor of Mayersville, Mississippi. She was also an internationalist, and she was president of the U.S.-China People's Friendship Association. You also heard the voice of Victoria Jackson Gray Adams, who was from Hattiesburg, Mississippi. She was also a founding member of the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party, along with Fannie Lou Hamer and Annie Devine. Victoria Jackson Gray Adams was also a field secretary for SNCC. And then, of course, we heard the voice of Fannie Lou Hamer, who was from Ruleville, Mississippi. She coined the phrase, "I am sick and tired of being sick and tired." And she was instrumental, a key figure in organizing the Mississippi Freedom Summer in 1964. This woman was incredible. Not only was she involved in the civil rights movement during that time, but later on she spoke out against the Vietnam War. All of these women were internationalists. And then we heard the voice of Annie Bell Robinson Jackson Devine, who was elected state representative for the Mississippi Freedom Democratic Party, along with Fannie Lou Hamer and Fannie Lou Hamer, as well as others. And let me just go through quickly a few of the others who you heard.
Nellie, before you finish up this excellent review of what we just heard, the intensity and density in this short piece, I want to remind our listeners that the number to call to get this amazing documentary that you just heard a little piece of is 212-209-2950. And say you either want Standing on My Sister's Shoulders for a pledge of $50 to support WBAI, or you want the entire package. And trust us, you're going to want the entire package of the three award-winning DVDs, of which that is just one, plus the CD of an amazing interview on what the whole question of leadership in women, which we're going to go into in a few moments, for $150. That happens to be about $700 worth of material, because a lot of the DVDs, if you wanted to buy them or you wanted to rent them, they would be in the $89 to $348 range. And you can go to the website of Women Make Movies that distributes a lot of these, and Icarus Films, and you can check me out on that. So this is one of the most amazing deals of the entire pledge drive. And listen to the quality. 212-209-2950. Fill in the missing pieces of the civil rights movement. Fill in the woman pieces. Fill in the women's leadership pieces. Yeah. Nellie.
And Fran, again, that number here that we want you to call in, our WBAI listeners, please call us and make a pledge at 212-209-2950. And again, that number is 212-209-2950.
And you can also go to the website and go to givetowbai.org, and you can pledge there. But don't neglect to do that, because you're going to be really sorry not to see this whole incredible DVD. And Nellie, I want to tell you that when we showed it at the Feminist Film Festival, I had kind of struggled to get it. I got it sort of late in the game. It wasn't on the schedule. And I got up in front of the audience and I said, listen, I had to change the schedule because I've gotten a DVD that is so extraordinary that I had to put it in. And after I showed it, I said to the audience, do you agree that I should have done that? And the whole audience broke into applause. And there was, as they say, not a dry eye in the house after seeing this. So this is the kind of quality we are offering you today. Again, award-winning DVD. You'd have to pay in the $200 to $300 range to get this, to rent this. It's not usually available, but due to the extraordinary generosity of Women Make Movies, we are able to offer you this as one of a $150 package on a full complement of information on women's leadership in the civil rights movement, or you can get it individually for a pledge of $50.
And again, the number here that you can call in and make your pledge here on WBAI Radio, 212-209-2950. You can also pledge on WBAI's website. That is G-I-V-E, the number 2, WBAI.org. And this amazing 3 DVD package is something that you want to have. We are celebrating Black History Month. We've had the commemoration of Malcolm X's death and all of these great male iconic figures. And you out there, we want to have a complete inclusive history of our movement and give visibility to these amazing Black women who have been left out of the historic narrative to the extent that illustrates the depth and commitment of their work. And you can have these amazing DVDs by calling us at 212-209-2950, or you can pledge on WBAI's website, G-I-V-E, the number 2, WBAI.org. We have an exciting program for you lined up. It is amazing, the information that you're going to hear in the next hour. And in the next couple of hours.
And we'll be on till noon. And let me tell you the other DVDs right now. So if you want to go ahead and pledge for the package, which we hope you'll do, you'll know what you're going to be getting. Yes, you will be getting the rest of that extraordinary beginning that you just heard of Standing on My Sister's Shoulders, How Women of Mississippi Braved the Most Dangerous dangerous possible conditions and showed full leadership and just forged ahead and changed the whole face of Mississippi. You'll be getting that. You'll be getting Fundy, the story of Ella Baker. Ella Baker, the extraordinary genius. Yes, I'm going to use that word. At the center of some of the most far-reaching campaigns in the civil rights movement. And this is the only movie made about her, the only film by Joanne Grant, also a movement activist. It has won all kinds of awards, and that is the second DVD we are offering you in the three DVD package. And the third one is called Reflections Unheard, Black Women in Civil Rights by a Young Filmmaker. And that takes you to all kinds of places. We're going to hear part of that a little bit later. But what it talks about, it takes you through the Panthers and women. It takes you through the National Black Feminist Organization. And Nellie, you'll be able to fill us in on some of this when that comes up. It kind of fills in the history from the earlier parts of the civil rights movement about black women. So that's three incredible DVDs spanning a huge range of time. And an extraordinary interview, which we're about to hear a piece of, with activist professor Carol Giardina on the meaning of leadership and why this word is not applied to women. Because if you'll notice, you will hear about women's participation in the civil rights movement. You'll hear about women as organizers. You'll hear about women as foot soldiers. You'll hear about women as kind of the glue that holds these things together. And as Professor Carol Giardina points out, all of that is true. But somehow the word leadership is applied to the activities of men. And she disputes that. And she goes through a number of important women leaders that include Daisy Bates, that include Gloria Richardson, that includes Fannie Lou Hamer, that includes Patricia Stevens Dew, and others, Joanne Robinson, and talks about what each of them did so that when you have this interview, you will be able to quote that to other people. And you will be able to say, well, here are the women who are leaders, and this is why, and this is what they did. And it will be very, very specific. So that CD interview is available for $25 by itself. And again, we're going to hear that part of that in a few minutes. And, you know, perhaps some of you have been pledging already and you feel a little bit tapped out. Well, come on, $25 to support an extraordinary bunch of information as we're giving you today. So you can get that for $25, or you can get that just thrown into the package. You'll save $25 for $150, the three DVDs and the CD interview on the meaning of leadership in women for $150 pledge. If you call 212-209-2950 or go to give the number 2WBAI.org, make that pledge and fill in the missing pieces of the most important narrative of the most important movement in United States history.
And as Fran said earlier, this is an amazing, amazing package that you can get for only $150 that retails. The commercial value of these three DVDs is over $700, but you can get
it really right here
by pledging $150 on WBAI radio. You can call us at 212-209-2950. You don't want to miss this. Just imagine this incredible commercial package that would cost over $700. That's the retail value. You can get it right here on WBAI Radio for $150. So we want to hear those phones ring.
That's right.
Please call us at 212-209-2950.
Yeah, and it's not only the material, it's the concept. You're going to be getting some new concepts. I mean, words are important, and whether we say somebody is, you know, the glue or the leg worker, or whether we say they were the person who conceived of the entire strategy, that's important, and that's where that word leadership comes in. And Carol Giardina disputes that is not being applied to women who do the same things that men do when men are called leaders for doing those same things, and yet the word is never applied to women. I won't say never, rarely, not as often as it should be. And that is a thesis that underlies this show, and you're going to be hearing right after our station break, which should be coming up about now, from Carol Giordina, and you're going to be hearing that thesis, and then we're going to go back to the DVDs. But in the meantime, we want the phones to be ringing. And I'm here, I'm Fran Luck of the Joy of Resistance Multicultural Feminist Radio. We are usually on 9 to 10 p.m. on Thursdays, but I got up super early, which was very hard for me, a night person, to do, to get this exciting information to you. And I am here with co-host Nellie Hester Bailey, who is one of the most exciting organizers in New York City. And I say that from experience because I've worked with her for years in housing and in other areas. And WBAI is fortunate to have Nellie be coming into our roster of producers. She is doing a show between 5 and 6 p.m. on Wednesdays called Behind the News, The World.
Thank you so much for that generous introduction, Fran. Later on in the program, as we move along, I'm going to talk to the audience about my time in the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. I was drafted as a student at a Southern Land Grant College. That was when we erected the tent city in Lowndes County, Alabama. Wow. H. Rapp Brown was project director, and Stokely Carmichael was in and out of Alabama Stillman College. I was drafted by Willie Mukasa Ricks, and those were, in fact, incredible times. The voter registration project that we had at Mary Holmes Junior College, and that was the summer of 1965. Our travels throughout Mississippi at a time that was so volatile and a landscape of unbelievable violence, and just almost the invincibility, not invincibility, perhaps that's too strong of a word, but what we felt as young students traveling throughout the South, working in Alabama and Mississippi with the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, being in the company of some of the most amazing figures during that period. I want to make it clear I was not on the staff of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, but rather one of hundreds of students throughout the South organized by SNCC.
Right. And here you are so many years later, still a committed activist. And I think that's part of the point of the kind of training that people went through at that point and the kind of eye opening. I'm hazarding a guess about you, Nellie, from my own, you know, understanding of the enormous effect of these events on people.
Yes. And I think when we look at the documentary that we're going to have on Ella Baker, who says the most important thing is to teach one, you stay in the movement, you stay involved. And that is a true test of commitment. It's not a struggle that continues today, as we see today with the millennium generation and the hands up movement, that you stay in the movement. And what is so incredible about Ella Baker, she understood the spirit, vitality, and the need for independence for these young movements.
That's
and
right.
We're going to talk about that later on.
Yeah. Well, let me do a station break right now. You are listening, of course, to WBAI in New York City at 99.5 FM and WBAI.org on the web. We are in fun drive mode, and the show is a kind of a pastiche of Joy of Resistance, Multicultural Feminist Radio, and Behind the News, The World. I'm Fran Luck. I'm here with Nellie Hester Bailey. We're talking about the civil rights movement, and particularly the contribution of women in the civil rights movement, and particularly the contribution of women, black women, as leaders of the civil rights movement. The L word. We're putting the L word back into the history of the civil rights movement when it comes to women, a word that has often been left out. And what we're going to do right now is we're going to go to a CD of an extraordinary interview that I did with activist scholar, Professor Carol Giordina, who's been a movement person also for all the decades of her her life, actually a founder of the Women's Liberation Movement. Right now, she teaches women's history. She teaches American history at Queens College. And she is says that she's as much of an activist as she ever was. And again, another person committed to the struggle. And we're going to hear her talking about specific women. Ella Baker, Diane Nash, Gloria Richardson, Daisy Bates, Fannie Lou Hamer, Joanne Robinson, Patricia Stevens Due. We won't get to hear all of that. You'll have to get the CD to hear all of that. But right now we're going to talk, she's going to talk about leadership and the whole question of leadership being applied to women. And she's going to be giving Ella Baker and her life as an example. So let's listen to that.
Historians of the civil rights movement have finally realized that women did lots more work than they were acknowledged to have done back in the day. And one of the best historians of the civil rights movement, Charles Payne, a Harvard African-American historian, wrote the best book, I think. It's called I've Got the Light of Freedom. He says women were even the dominant force, he calls them, in the civil rights movement. And then he says women organized and men led, and that we need to get credit. He's horrified. We were the backbone, the mother of the movement, the foot soldiers, the brick binders, all of these things, right? He says men gave dramatic speeches and led dramatic demonstrations, and that's why they get that title of leadership. Even though the work we did as organizers, backbones, and brick binders was more important in his mind. So I'm thinking to myself, but wait a minute. Women gave dramatic speeches and led huge, dangerous demonstrations and represented organizations and founded them and other things. But somehow, the fact that women did that, it doesn't register on their brains, even though they are looking right at it. So I don't know what to say.
Carol, can you give our listeners specific examples of the civil rights women who were leaders about which you have done your research?
To go back to my favorite historian of the civil rights movement, Charles Payne, when he talks about SNCC, he says a woman founded it, but he doesn't give you the name of that woman. And, of course, that woman was Miss Baker, Ella Baker, right? Found SNCC, the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee, in 1960 and continues to guide it throughout its organizational life. And just looking at SNCC for a minute, Miss Baker recruits Diane Nash. She's its first paid staff organizer, and she leads the direct action wing of the organization. She then picks up the Freedom Rides after you see that burning bus and the famous pictures and stuff. The Trailways bus has been bombed and smoke is coming out of the top of it, and the bloody young people are in front of it. The Congress of Racial Equality decided to call off the rides because it just looked like suicide, right? And Diane Nash, head of SNCC, direct action wing, picks up the ride. Quote, if the Freedom Rides had been stopped as a result of violence, said Diane Nash, I strongly felt that the future of the movement was going to be cut short. The impression would have been that whenever a movement starts, all you have to do is attack it with massive violence and the blacks will stop. So Nick picks up the Freedom Ride. Diane Nash leads it. I mean, this is the Freedom Rides, right? I don't think I have to say any more about the importance of that. It's 1961. It roils the Kennedy administration. It sends shockwaves throughout the South and the political establishment in Washington. It's like a really important thing that Diane Nash did. So here you have the founder of SNCC, Ella Baker, and its leading organizer, acknowledged leading organizer at the time, Diane Nash. And yet women somehow were the backbone or did the legwork. I don't know. Let me make that clear. Women did do the legwork and they were the backbone. And in that sense, they played a critically important role. But I think that when you look at Miss Baker and Diane Nash's organizing that I've just spoken of, it's more than the backbone or a brick binder. It's real leadership, just as men did. There was nothing more dangerous than the Freedom Rides, and in my view, there was nothing more important than the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee as an organization. So to found and lead these organizations is a front bone. I don't know what to... I'd call that something in the front, you know, not in the back or everyday maintenance or legs. It takes minds to do that as well.
I think you had also said that Ella Baker set up SCLC, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference.
Yes, King's organization, for which
yes.
He gets no credit for doing either. After the Montgomery bus boycott is worrying that the momentum is going to be lost from that, right? So she has a group with a couple of Northern liberals called In Friendship, I think. They decide that there needs to be this organization and that King should lead it. So Miss Baker goes south and sets up the organization. King is recruited to lead it, and he leads it with the ministers. But Miss Baker is the sort of the brains behind it and also the founder of it. Wow. And holds it together for quite some time, with King not particularly receptive to her doing that.
Carol, about a week ago, I attended the 31st annual Marion Wright Lecture Series. Diane Nash was a keynote speaker there, and she spoke of Ella Baker. And she used words like Ella Baker was like a quilt because she connected communities. She worked as a custodian one minute, and the next minute you would see her out with a bunch of high-profile civil rights leaders. She connected the black and the white community. Can you reflect on that skill that she had a little bit?
Well, I think she did all those things, and she did them very well. But the part that's left out of that is that she was a master strategist, you know. She looked at the whole national picture, and she thought, we can't lose momentum. Now's the time to do this. She looked at the sit-ins going on in 1960s, spreading across the country, and she said, we have to centralize this and make it have an influence instead of just being scattered through local communities. So she gathers up the student leaders of the sit-ins, Diane Nash being one, and calls them together in that famous meeting where she advises the young people not to join SCLC, but to make their own organization, which they do. So this is grand strategy on a national level, and each time it's the right thing to do. SCLC was exactly what was needed, it seemed to me, to maintain the momentum of the Montgomery bus boycott, and then to not let the sit-ins just dissipate or filter out, but to gather the leaders together and help them form an organization. It's grand strategy, big picture thinking.
Thank you.
Yeah, and all critical links in the history of the civil rights movement.
She also gave a very good speech.
All right, she also gave a very good speech. Grand strategy. Big picture thinking behind the civil rights movement. We have usually been told that Ella Baker was a self-effacing, very nice woman, encouraged young people, et cetera, et cetera. But here is another take, grand strategy, big picture thinking, the L word, leadership. And that's what Carol Giardina is, of course, getting at, not getting at. She's saying it quite bluntly that this is the word that should be applied. All right. You're listening to The Joy of Resistance with Fran Luck and Nellie Hester Bailey. And of course, Nellie has her own show, which is Behind the News of the World, Wednesday between 5 and 6 p.m. And we are bringing you the missing pieces of the civil rights movement, the narrative that includes the leadership of women. And it's the piece that you really need. And we're asking you to make a pledge to WBAI for the DVD, three award-winning DVDs, one of which you've heard part of, Standing on My Sister's Shoulders, one of which you're about to hear, Fundy, the story of Ella Baker, the only film made about Ella Baker, and also Reflections Unheard, Black Women in Civil Rights, three extraordinary and astounding DVDs, which will give you so much information that you have not had before on the Civil Rights Movement and the women of the Civil Rights Movement and the women leaders of the Civil Rights Movement and what happened to Black women after the Civil Rights Movement. All of that in this three DVD package that would collectively be worth over $700, and we're not kidding. Just go to the websites of Women Make Movies and Icarus Films and check out the prices. Usually, you when you pledge for BAA, you might be paying a little more than what you can get the item at for retail, and you do that because you love BAI. But this is not that today. This is the kind of the reverse, where you're actually paying a lot less than you would pay if you weren't getting these items. And some of these items are impossible to get, like the movie Fundy we're about to hear part of. Let me just say that Fundy, the only film made on Ella Baker about whom you were just hearing, is such a great film that Harry Belafonte, the great Harry Belafonte, activist, musician, so much we could say about him, stepped forward to do the introduction. You'll hear his voice in a minute. And also, Bernice Johnson Regan stepped forward and wrote a song specifically for this film. Did you know that Ella's song, We Who Believe in Freedom, the theme that we're using today, was written for this film? For this film.
And we have, in this package, you're going to hear a speech that was delivered by Ella Baker, in which she said, I'm paraphrasing this, I can't remember the exact words, but the gist of it is that when people are concerned about the death of a Black man who is the son of a Black woman, the same way they are concerned, yes,
and the children of black mothers, black mothers' sons, are as important as the children of white mothers.
That's what I was trying to say here, and that is so relevant today, which is why it's important. But in that speech, Ella Baker ended, she didn't end it, but within that segment of the speech, she said, we who believe in freedom would not rest. That is what she said, and I believe that was the impetus for the song that was later written by Bernice Regan of the SNCC Freedom Singers.
Right, and the founder of Sweet Honey in the Rock. Actually, the entire song is composed of things that Ella Baker said. Okay? She says, that which touches me most is the chance to work with young people. You know, if you listen to the full lyrics, and we'll play it on the way out, you know, all of this is from her speeches, and Bernice Johnson Regan just put it together in this incredible song.
Right. And folks, you know why this package is important? Because we still have the same problem today. As we look at the Hands Up movement, if this society was concerned, and white mothers or the white society was concerned about the death of young Black men as they would be about the death of their own sons, these messages and these analysis and these paradigms are still relevant today. And that is why you need this package. It is not to wax nostalgia, but to really get you into the frame of mind of the continuation, the historical continuum of the movement, the political movement, yeah, the social movement, the social justice movement.
212-209-2950. 212-209-2950. Go to your phones and get the $150 package, which includes three award-winning, I do mean award-winning, DVDs and a CD that you've just heard a part of, an interview about the leadership of women in the civil rights movement, with names and dates and all the stuff you're going to need, so that if anybody says to you, well, what did women do in the civil rights movement, you're going to have that at the tip of your fingers. You're going to really have answers. You're going to be able to name names and talk about what women did. And it is astounding. And it is information you probably don't have, certainly not all in one place. Once again, 212-209-2950. Tell them that you'd like the, what are we calling it? We're calling it the Black Women's Leadership package.
Black Women's Leadership in the Civil Rights Movement. Give us a call, 212-209-2950.
Three DVDs and a really groundbreaking CD interview. Or you can get each of those separately. You can get Standing on My Sister's Shoulders, which you heard part of before, Mississippi and Women and the Vote. You can get Flindy, the Story of Ella Baker, and you can get Reflections Unheard, Black Women and Civil Rights, for $50 each. Or you can get the CD interview with Carol Giordina and Moretta Short, I should add, for a pledge of $25. I mean, how little is that to get some groundbreaking information and to support WBAI? All right, we are getting a little bit out of control here with our schedule, and it's time now to go to Flindy, the Story of Ella Baker, the award-winning film, and you will hear it introduced by Harry Belafonte. Once again, for $50, 212-209-2950. We expect to hear those phones ringing.
Freedom is a constant struggle. Many of us who participated in the movement of the 1960s took part in the struggle alongside a woman named Ella Baker. Ella Baker is a leader little known outside the circles of the people with whom she organized. People who grew and developed because she believed in them. In the decades of the 30s, 40s, 50s, and 60s, Ella Baker worked with the main thrust of the Black movement, with all of the well-known civil rights leaders, but mostly with the unknown people. Her life has always been devoted to helping ordinary people in struggle develop their own leadership potential. Ella Baker's message is a simple one. It says, learn from others, pass on what we learn, and stay in the struggle for a free and just world.
In many countries, skills are passed on from generation to generation by an individual who teaches another, who teaches another.
No. Aunt Ella, no. She became, in my mind, as I thought about her, the Fundi. Now, Fundi is a word from Swahili. Person in a community who masters a given craft.
How old are you, Lord?
And he masters it coming up through the community with the help of the community. With the help of some other people in the community who have mastered it, and he plies his craft and teaches it to other people.
Help me to understand.
And it goes on like that without ever being institutionalized.
Ella Baker's life work has spanned 50 years of organizing the unorganized.
The natural resistance was there already. There's no human being. I don't care how undeveloped he is. No human being, I will be willing to say, no human being relishes being sat upon and beaten as if he were an animal without any resistance.
Then we'll be free like we used to be. When good old George moves in that White House, we'll be free like him.
They want to throw white children and colored children into the melting pot of integration, throughout of which will come a conglomerated mulatto mongrel class of people.
Until the killing of black men, black mother's sons, becomes as important to the rest of the country as the killing of a white mother's son. We who believe in freedom cannot rest until this happens.
The Negroes are moving toward helping the communists and the one worlders.
People here in Montgomery had
a sense of the value of organization. And I think when Mrs. Parks was arrested, she was the perfect woman to be arrested at that point, I think, because she had been well known in the community, would never raise a voice against anyone. That in itself was more than people could take very well.
We expect the City Bus Lines of Montgomery and the people of Montgomery to continue to obey all segregation laws as written. And as long as I am police commissioner of the City of Montgomery, I intend to follow this course.
We have the right to protest far right, and we intend to continue to protest until we receive justice. We will do it in an orderly fashion. This is a non-violent protest. We are depending on moral and spiritual forces using the method of passive resistance.
The Montgomery bus boycott was a catalyst of the black struggle of the 60s. 50,000 Negroes walked for a year rather than ride the city's segregated buses. The young minister, Reverend Martin Luther King Jr., was elected president of the Montgomery Improvement Association, and many boycott mass meetings were held in his Dexter Avenue Baptist Church. When the boycott ended in victory, King and other ministers formed a South-wide organization, the Southern Christian Leadership Conference.
Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. and I had decided that we would make out of the Montgomery Improvement Association a South-wide organization, that it would cover every phase, every bit of geography in the South, in order that we could take our nonviolent movement to these communities where segregation was still alive. And we chose Ella Baker to serve as the first director of our organization. She knew what the issues were, and she led SCLC in that direction.
Well, I was in Atlanta. I had gone down to set up the office of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference. I had not planned to stay. When the sit-in started, having traveled throughout the southern area, I happened to have known a number of people and began to make calls to find out the evaluation, what it was. When the kids began to sit there and sat and sat and took it, none of us who were older, who had a streak of humanity, could fail to not find some way of identifying with it, because we knew it should take place, and maybe I didn't have the nerve to do it, maybe. But they did.
Jailings of hundreds of the protesting students shocked the nation. Ella Baker wrote that the sit-ins meant more than the right to eat a hamburger. The demonstration spotlighted the moral implications of racial discrimination. But black protest did not begin in the 60s. Earlier struggles provided the groundwork. During the 1940s, Ella Baker traveled for half of each year as field secretary and director of branches of the NAACP, the leading civil rights organization of the time. Baker's task was to stimulate local campaigns and help build membership. Her schedule for a week in Georgia in 1942 reads, Thursday, Savannah. Friday, Macon. Sunday, Columbus. Monday, Savannah Mass Meeting. Tuesday, Brunswick Mass Meeting. Wednesday, Waycross Branch Meeting. Thursday, Augusta Mass Meeting. Friday, Athens. She resigned removed from the staff of the NAACP in 1946 because she felt the organization was too bureaucratic.
Having worked with and for older, quote, leadership, and the contrast between how much those young people gave, I developed a sort of a special appreciation for what those young people did. I suggested that should be some meeting in order for those who had been involved and those who were chafing at the bit, as it were, to be a part of it, to meet and to have some sense of direction. And so a meeting was held in Raleigh at Shaw.
Ms. Baker, as the executive director of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, was the main organizer of the Easter Weekend Conference in 1960 that led to the formation of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee. I mean, she sent out the appeal to various student groups.
And helped us resist pressure from the NAACP, who wanted us to become NAACP youth chapters at the various colleges where there were sit-in groups, from CORE, who wanted us to become CORE chapters at the various places where all these student sit-in groups were located, and from SCLC, who wanted us to become a youth wing of SCLC.
Miss Baker knew who she was, she knew her role, she knew and understood the work and our mission, and she knew what she was doing. And somehow, when, you know, this cadre of folk got put together, being, you know, almost all male, that she saw herself being not respected for the executive role that she could play, for the programmatic role that she could play.
Forceful woman, and she didn't speaker with all the talent that they had. She had too much talent to be accepted at that time among a bunch of preachers who were never used to any women in their inner councils. But remember, she was a peer of theirs.
Okay, and that was that last voice you heard was, I believe, Eleanor
Holmes Norton,
and that was a SNCC reunion where people got together. This is also in the film, and they talked about Ella Baker, and they talked about the history of SNCC. So you have many, many layers in time in the film, Fundy, the story of Ella Baker, which we are offering to you for a pledge of $50, and which you just heard a part of, and which is part of a 3-DVD package, plus an extraordinary interview for $150 for the entire package. Now, I cannot even begin to describe the visuals that you would have had you seen that film. There was the Ku Klux Klan. There was the campaign to make George Wallace a governor, perhaps for a president. There were the students being arrested at the counters. There was an interview conducted by Joanne Grant with Ella Baker when Ella Baker was in her 70s, which formed something of the backbone of this film, and you really hear her reminiscences, and not only her reminiscences, her analyses of what she had been doing with her life and where the civil rights movement was at. There is so much that is rich in this film. Ella Baker was born in 1903, and she's truly a crossover figure because she was active in the 40s and 50s movement, right?
She was.
You know, right?
And right here in Harlem, she was a good friend of Dr. John Henry Clark.
Okay. And I didn't know that. Thank you, Nellie. And, you know, so she's a crossover figure, but then it's not like she did her bit and now she's retiring. She comes back in, I don't know whether she was in her 50s or 60s, whatever, and she becomes active as the new civil rights movement is born. And she winds up being a critical leader, as you heard Carol Giardina talking about, and as you will hear in this film and would see in this film if you had the film. The film has won four, five, six awards. It won it's the Golden Eagle winner. It won the Film of the Year in the 1981 London Film Festival, Best of Category in the San Francisco Film Festival, first prize winner in Black Filmmakers Hall of Fame. This is an extraordinary film with an introduction by Harry Belafonte with an original song that is now, you know, beloved all over the world, known as Ella's Song by Bernice Johnson Regan of Sweet Honey and the Rock. You couldn't get a better film and a rarer film than this one. And if you wanted to buy it, it would cost you $348. I kid you not. Go to Icarus Films and look at their website and check me out. But you can get it through WBAI for $50 individually. A steal, a bargain. It's unheard of. I mean, how could we even do this? We should have charged much more. That's what I said. But here it is. Because we know that you have been perhaps pledging. We know that you don't have a huge amount of money, and Women Make Movies and Icarus Films have been extraordinarily generous to us, and that's why we're able to offer you at these kinds of prices for a pledge to support WBAI. Speaking of WBAI, that's the station you are listening to at 99.5 FM in New York City, coming out of New York City, worldwide on the web at WBAI.org. I'm Fran Luck of the Joy of Resistance Multicultural Feminist Radio, usually on between 9 and 10 p.m. on Thursdays. And I'm here with Nellie Hester Bailey of Behind the News, The World, which is on Wednesdays between 5 and 6 p.m. on WBAI. And we are so happy to be bringing you this extraordinary material on the real contributions of women to the civil rights movement that go beyond, as Carol Giardina says in this interview, also part of the package, being the brick binder, the organizers, the foot soldiers, go beyond that to the question of actual leadership on the level of the great male leaders, Martin Luther King Jr., Stokely Carmichael, the ones we know about, on that level. We're talking here about Ella Baker. If you don't know about her life, you need to. And you need your children to know. And go on, Nellie.
Absolutely. And again, as Fran said, you just give us a call here at WBAI 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. And just so you'll know whom you are, this film and and who Ella Baker was and her chronological involvement in the movement. She worked for every major civil rights organization, the NAACP, from 1938 to 1953, and she resigned. Then she went on to work for SCLC from 1957 to 1960, and then she was with SNCC from 1960 until 1966. She went on to work with the WPA early in the 40s, just to give you an example, right here in Harlem, and her legacy is tremendous. We have this documentary fun. Did you know in 2009 there was a U.S. postal stamp that was issued in her honor?
That's exciting.
So yeah, that is exciting. And you can have this amazing CD on Ella Baker by giving us a call and a pledge at 212-209-2950. This DVD is on that you can have. Not at its retail value, but you can have this on this amazing woman, Ella Baker. And just let me say this, although the historical narrative, which is often told by people who were not part of that struggle, Ella Baker is a legend in the movement itself.
Yes.
There was not a place in Mississippi or Alabama or anything related to the civil rights movement that one did not understand and appreciate and honored who Ella Baker was. And even after she left, after she continued her organizing and her involvement in social justice movement, she was involved in the Puerto Rican independence movement.
And we're going to hear a speech, if we have time, of her that she made at the Puerto Rican committee.
Yes.
Okay, listen, we're going to...
Radical voice of Ella Baker. Radical voice.
Absolutely. And by the way, a couple of other awards that this film won. The National Women's Student Association Film Festival of the Year, the London Film Festival Best of Category, the San Francisco Film Festival, the, I think I read that already. Lots and lots of incredible reviews. Very, very rare film. Yours for a pledge of $50 individually if you just want this film, or get the whole 100, the whole 3DVD package for $150 with the interview, the extraordinary interview with Professor Carol Giardina thrown in on the leadership of women. And in that interview, Carol Giardina goes through all of the major women. Not all of them. No, I should not say that. Many of them. Ella Baker, Diane Nash, Gloria Richardson, Daisy Bates, Fannie Lou Hamer, Joanne Robinson, who actually started the Montgomery bus boycott.
Absolutely.
And Patricia Stephens-Due, who did things like integrate movie theaters. I mean, there's so much stuff in the civil rights movement that once you get into it, it just starts to thrill you with the possibility of what you can do when you organize and when your heart is in it and when you have a real justice issue that you're fighting for.
Yes, and in this DVD that you just heard, Fundi, we have James Foreman of SNCC, who heaped accolades on Ella Baker, as did Julian Bond, and we just heard
those men in that piece.
You are getting something that is truly, truly a legacy of the civil rights movement.
Right.
Ella Baker, the mother of, we won't say mother anymore, a leader and strategist of the civil rights movement, who later on moved her activism into social justice movement. And you can have this remarkable and amazing DVD by calling us at 212-209-2950. And again, that number is 212-209-2950. And we want all of you sisters, as well as you brothers, to give us a call, so that not only are you honoring the legacy of this remarkable woman by really understanding and appreciating the truth,